About 3 weeks ago, Bree Lyle put out one of her constant updates on the progress of her beautiful, big-hearted husband, Jared, a man who's well-known to everybody here on this radio station, and through his various battles with cancer, acute myeloid leukemia to be precise, has shared his story with everybody here because of the interest that so many of us have in him getting through this. And the last couple of updates that Bree Lyle has put out haven't necessarily been that positive. There was a recent one recently put out a couple of days ago that wasn't good, and a lot of people read it and have been asking me whether I know how the big fella's tracking, if I knew anything more than the information being put out by Jared's wife. Well, I had no more to give, so I rang the big fella this morning and said, listen, are you happy to come on and keep people in the loop? And as he always is, of course, he said yes, despite the fact that he's not in a great place at the moment. At 2:09, I say g'day to you, Jared Lyle.
Andy, how are you, mate?
Mate, I'm going okay. And can you thank your beautiful wife for her amazing Facebook updates on you? It's clearly a painful exercise for her to do, but she knows that people care about you. And some of the recent stuff's been pretty hard to read, mate.
Yeah, mate. Look, it's not the easiest thing to have to write down, I guess, and dealing with it's not real crash hot either. But you know, hopefully we're getting closer to a bit of a diagnosis of exactly what's going on. But at the moment, we're sort of no closer to knowing why the vision has disappeared, and yeah, so we're sort of still, you know, barking up a few different trees to try and figure it out.
So it's 205 days since your stem cell transplant, which is amongst the myriad of operations you've had. It's you know, what, like the third real big one for you. What's happened to your eyes? What has happened to you? As you talk to us now, what can you see? What's happened to your eyes?
My eyes at the moment, everything's blurry. So about just over 3 weeks ago, I was up in Shepparton watching a friend win the D grade kind of championship, and I went to bed that night, everything was okay, and then I literally woke up the next morning and got up to go to the loo and realised that everything was kind of blurry, and thought, you know, maybe I was still half asleep and hadn't quite woken up properly. But, yeah, as it turned out, it just progressively got worse and worse over the next few days. And it's got to the point where I've had to be hospitalised because of it, because I can't really, I guess, look after myself too well. And, yeah, so we're sort of having every test known to mankind to try and figure out what's going on with it. And, you know, we're slowly getting a little bit closer to a diagnosis, but still a fair way away from it at the same time.
There's a lot of really smart people in your corner, I bet, without knowing them individually. But, you know, you're a larger-than-life character and you're a good human being and you've got a beautiful family. So there's a lot of people trying their hardest for you, I imagine. Have they seen this before? Where has this come from? Do they know what's led to the deterioration in your eyesight?
No. Look, it's one of those things that we've had neurologists come down and have a look. We've had ophthalmologists come and have a look. We've had speech pathologists. We've had everybody sort of come down and spend a bit of time with me and try and figure out exactly what's going on. And the neurologist, or one of the head neurologists, said that this is a very, very, very rare thing that he's only ever seen once or twice. And, yeah, they're not sure whether it's going to be reversible or not. It depends on how much damage has been done up until now. So this could be something that I unfortunately live with for the rest of my life. Or gets better with the treatment protocol that they figure out is the best way to go. So I'm hoping it's the second version, that it is reversible and I'll be able to get on with life again. But, you know, you've got to have that worst case in the back of your head that it's not, and you've got to live with blurred vision and not being able to drive and not being able to, you know, really look after your kids that well and look after yourself all that well either. So it's a bit of a tough pill to swallow, mate. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. I keep
well, this is the thing with you. I mean, you know, people who have been close to the game of golf, and there's many people in the Australian golf community who know you far better than I do, but to know you a little bit is to know you a lot. And that's kind of who and what you are. And I've never heard you kind of woe is me it. It's just the remarkable thing about you. But surely there must come a time when you sit there and you go, okay, listen, I've got this prick of a thing. I'm doing everything I can do with the help of good people to beat this thing and survive through it. And I've got a whole lot of reasons I want to do that, most notably those little kids of yours. And then this happens to you, this thing completely out of the blue. There must have been a moment where you've given it the, well, why me? I'm dealing with all the other stuff and I know what that is, but why do I get this thrown in on top of it all? It would only be human nature for you to think that way.
Yeah, probably I had a little moment this morning where I sort of burst in tears and sort of had a bit of a slug about it all. But I don't know, mate. It's one of those things that there's still a lot of things that I want to do in life. And you know, watching my girls grow up and being there for them and being there for Brian, trying to help her out as much as I can as well is probably the three main things that keep me going every day. And I said to Brian this morning, I said, I just feel like my body's had enough. You know, I feel like it's just ready to give up, and every little thing that comes my way turns into something a bit bigger and that. But I don't know, I guess I've just still got that fighting spirit that I've always had and want to get through it and want to, you know, help other people sort of realise that no matter how bad it gets, there's always that light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm looking for that light and I just can't see it at the moment. But, you know, I know it's there, and I know that I've just got to keep hiding to get there.
As I've said to you in the past, I wish you could see the text messages that I can see as we're talking to you, because, you know, you draw an enormous amount of strength, and I'm sure you get a lot of letters and stuff coming your way anyway, but there's, you know, Tony in Mill Park, Jared, keep fighting, buddy. I was told I had no hope. Stage 4, 4.5 years later, I'm doing well. You must hear these stories. And I was talking to you this morning about a friend of ours who, you know, had a terrible diagnosis about 4 years ago as well, and she's fighting through it. Do you draw strength still from those other kind of stories that you must hear a lot of?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I want to be that person that, you know, people down the track can draw strength from my story as well. So it's, you know, all these people that are sending messages, you can't thank them enough for taking time out of their day to, you know, pass on their well wishes to you and things like that. And I just hope that, you know, I'm doing them some justice by fighting as much as I am. And, you know, I hope in the future that people draw strength from my fighting as well.
You know, you've got your kids and your family. You've got your beautiful wife and your kids. The depths that you have to dig into to, you know, fight this thing the way you're fighting it, can you imagine where you'd be without them?
Yeah, mate, I reckon I'd probably be dead. Mm. Right now, it's, you know, to be able to wake up at home and at 4 o'clock in the morning and your two-year-old standing next to your bed going, Daddy, 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 Daddy. And, you know, you lift her up and you chuck her into bed next to you and you give her a cuddle and she sort of crawls in and, you know, nestles herself up right next to you and goes back to sleep again. And you literally just lay there and realise how lucky you are. You know, it's a very, very special feeling, and, you know, it's, I just feel very lucky that I'm able to still have those feelings after everything that I've been through.
How much do they know of what's happening to their dad? Where are they at with all of understanding what's happening to them?
Well, I think Gemma, my youngest, she doesn't really know. She doesn't really know too much about it. But Lucy, my six-year-old, she knows that Daddy's pretty sick and things. And, you know, she sort of, I guess, gets a little bit worried every now and then when I've got to go back into hospital. But, you know, they both just come in and I'll put the TV on and they'll watch the TV and lay on the bed with me and just make me feel normal for a couple of hours, I guess.
And for half an hour, I bet you Peppa Pig or whatever it is they're watching are far more important than their old man anyway.
Yes. Well, I've actually watched quite a few episodes of Peppa Pig lately.
So, I bet you have.
That's about all I can do.
So what next? So you've got these docs, various doctors are trying to find out about your eyes. It's 205 days since, you know, the stem cell transplant. Other than the eyes, Jared, how have you been going? Like, how was the kind of settling in of, you know, the new inside you going, and how are you tracking?
No, I've been tracking okay. The blood tests and all that stuff that I've been having have all kept coming back pretty normal. You know, all the blood counts have been very stable for a while now, so I've been weaned off one of the immunosuppression drugs that I've had to be on. So that's a good sign. There's a couple of little things here and there that sort of pop up because of all the pills that I'm still on. But majority of the time, everything's been pretty good, which is great, you know, to know that it's just the eyes at the moment that are the problem and there's nothing else that's too sinister sort of going on behind the scenes is a good feeling. And, you know, because I think if it ever came back again, I was told going into the third lot this would be my last chance. And, yep. And you know, it's a tough thing to swallow knowing that if it doesn't work, you're pushing it up a pretty steep hill. But, you know, to know that the blood counts are doing what they're supposed to do and the doctors are happy with everything that they see, it's a nice feeling.
And you're in hospital now. How much of a difference, if it makes any difference at all, and if it does, tell us what sort of difference it makes for you to be able to just get home, just get out of there and, you know, be in a position where you can be, you know, in a familiar room with familiar people, familiar smells that don't sound like hospitals and look like hospitals. What difference does it make for you to be in a position where you can get home?
It's, there's really nothing that can describe it. It's, you know, especially living down at Torquay, you know, it's nice to be able to drive past the beach and look out the window and see the ocean and just be at home and sleep in your own bed and have... Sorry, mate.
Don't apologise, Jesus.
To, you know, just to have everything around you that's your own is a nice feeling. And, you know, that's the next thing that I'm looking forward to is getting out of here with, you know, a good diagnosis and hopefully a clean bill of health to... get back to normal life again, but I think it's going to take a bit of time to get all that figured out. So I've been here for a week and I reckon I'll be here for at least another week or two until they get everything sort of squared away and figured out what treatment they're going to go with and touch wood, it works.
Mate, you didn't have to do this. You didn't have to. I'm glad you got back to me this morning. I just wanted to know that, you know, you were know where you were at. You didn't need to get on the phone today, but for the people that are listening to this, I can't, I mean, we get it, you get this unbelievable reaction. You tap into something that's all the good things, mate, of people out there. And there's a lot of, you know, we get a lot of back and forth on this radio station because, you know, we talk about a lot of things that people are divided about, different opinions about. But the stuff coming through on this SMS machine, you know, I can't read them all out. They're just, there's too many, and you've probably heard them all before. But you're an inspiration to people, Jared, and because I think people deal with what they consider to be, a, you know, testing things on a daily basis. And when we hear stories like yours, the rest of us have got nothing to complain about, mate. So on behalf of everybody who is listening to you now, thanks for being bothered to take the call, and thanks for having a chat to us. And all we can do is wish you all the very best, mate. That's, we got nothing else but that. But it come, I hope you'll, hopefully, you know, it comes from people you don't even know.
Yeah.
It comes from the bottom of our hearts. It really does.
No, I do, mate. No, I appreciate the opportunity to tell the story. And, you know, hopefully, like I said earlier, hopefully what I talk about is helping people in other areas of life as well. So it's nice to be able to have an outlet like you and SEN to get it out there and, you know, just tell my side of the story.
A lot of love for you. I honestly mean that. I've never seen the SMS machine like this. It's just ticking over as I'm talking to you, and it's universal, the feeling. What we'll keep reading Bri's stuff. Hopefully she keeps sending it out because it keeps us in touch and means we don't have to annoy her. But hopefully the next time she sends out, you know, there's some good news about those eyes of yours, mate, and it's the first step towards more good news. We'll all keep our fingers crossed, and you've got all our love. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
No worries, Andy. Thanks, mate.
Good on you, mate. Jared Lyle, that's something, isn't it? The SMS, you're a champion, Jared Lyle. Keep fighting. What an inspirational person. I don't really have any troubles, just sending Jared all the very best. I've stopped the car on the side of the road because I can't stop crying. Jared's fight is quite incredible. First time, long time as a father of 2-year-old daughter. This story is really shaking me up. All the best to you, Jared. Ash, what a wonderfully big-hearted, courageous and inspirational man. Keep fighting for your family. Wow, what a great man. First time text messenger. That's, you know, the stuff you're sending it. That's the sort of stuff that comes through. And it all puts everything else into a bit of perspective, doesn't it?